Two competitive races in Skagway are coming up this fall for both assembly and school board. And a local watershed council unveils plans to address snowmelt pollution. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Skagway has two competitive races for both borough assembly and school board this election. The candidate filing period closed today. Three candidates are running for two open assembly seats, currently occupied by Tim Cochran and Spencer Morgan. Cochran is running for re-election. Morgan is not. Cochran works for Petro Marine Services and has served 2 3-year terms on the assembly. He is running against Orion Hansen and Dave Brenna. Last year, real estate developer Brenna ran for assembly as a write-in candidate. He said at the time that his opposition to the proposed Tidelands lease with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad spurred him to run for office. Brenna lost to incumbent Steve Burnham Jr. and newcomer Jay Burnham. The lease was rejected in a public vote. Hansen has not run for assembly before. He is currently the chair of the Planning and Zoning Commission and works as a general contractor. The Skagway School Board race will also be a three-way contest for two open seats. The two members whose seats are set to open are both running for re-election. Darren Belisle is a longtime school board member who works for AP&T. Mark Smith was appointed to an open seat on the board last year. Because of the appointment, that seat holds a 2-year term instead of the usual 3 years. Newcomer Jamie Bricker is also vying for a spot on the school board. Bricker works for White Pass and serves as the Skagway Traditional Council president. In Haines, one new candidate has put her name in the mix this week. Haines School bookkeeper Judy Erickson brings the number of candidates for two open assembly seats up to 3. Incumbent Diana Lapham and author Heather Lendy are also running for assembly. So far, just one person has filed for two open seats on the Haines School Board. Longtime board member Sarah Swinton is hoping to retain her seat. Haines residents have a few more days to become candidates. The filing deadline is this Friday. Local elections take place Tuesday, October 4th. Area voters can weigh in on the crowded races for Alaska's U.S. House and Senate seats during the primary election tomorrow. Candidates who receive the most votes in the primary go on to the general election in November. Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski is facing challengers from the Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, and Independent parties. Republican Representative Don Young is also being challenged by a number of candidates from multiple parties. State Representative Sam Keto III appears on the primary ballot, but he is running uncontested. Democrat and Libertarian candidates are listed on the same ballot. Republican candidates are listed on the other. To get a better idea of exactly who you would be choosing from, you can view sample ballots at khns.org. Polls open at 7 a.m. and close at 8 p.m. Tuesday. Haines residents can vote at the Chilkat Center, Upper Valley residents at the Klahini Valley Fire Department, Klukwan residents at the ANS Hall, and Skagway voters at City Hall. Each winter, snow is piled up in the Fort Seward parade grounds from nearby roads. Pollutants scooped up with the snow eventually land in the storm drains and then flow into Portage Cove. Last week, Tokshinnik Watershed Council unveiled its new plan for alleviating some of that runoff with a new bioswale project. KHNS's Jillian Rogers reports.
So first of all, what is a bioswale?
Basically, it's this depression that has different layers.
That's Tokshinnik Executive Director Meredith Pocart. She led an informal information session on Friday morning for about a dozen interested residents.
So the bottom layer will be drain rock, and then we'll have some planting soil. And then this one will most likely have mulch or bark, so that it doesn't have to be mowed. Because we'll have other plants within there, some different flowering plants, maybe a rose or something that looks pretty and is attractive.
So basically, bioswale is a fancy word for a filtration ditch. Runoff and snowmelt gets channeled into the bioswale and then travels through the layers, cleaning the water that eventually ends up in the water table. Once covered with perennials, the system is inconspicuous, low maintenance, and effective. The project stems from a $10,000 snow removal grant awarded to the council a couple of years ago from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. The goal with this money is to create two bioswales and a snow storage area in the top two corners of the parade grounds this fall. The project will take up about 4,000 square feet of space on each corner of the privately owned land.
DC and kind of other communities has started to recognize these snow storage locations as potential like stormwater pollutants. So when they melt, the snow piles are storing a bunch of like pollutants, grease, dirt, which ends up being a lot of sediment that can end up in like an anadromous stream, which can affect fish. And they usually have a lot of heavy metals and salt.
Pokart says the pollutants can also include antifreeze and oil, whatever the plows scoop up in the snow. Most winters, snow is piled up in the Fort Seward area, so adding a couple of bioswales at the top is strategic. Also, the placement is such that snowmelt hits the filtering power of the bioswale before it can run into the storm drain. That's why they're not being created at the bottom of the parade grounds. Another aspect of the project is to harden or compact the ground above the bioswale so that there's a hardier surface where the snow gets piled. A firmer surface topped with gravel would see fewer impacts from the plow and diminish the muddy mess come springtime. But a few Fort Seward residents that spoke out at the meeting didn't like the idea of a gravel pad. Here's Judy Heinmiller, who raised concerns about people mistaking the gravel surface for a parking pad.
You know, once you start something, it's hard to change it. So, I mean, they will be permanent. Let's go with, in the future, all four corners. Some sort of seasonal barrier.
Yeah.
Perhaps an attractive fence doesn't even have to be very tall, something that would keep someone from driving in and out.
Haynesboro Public Facilities Director Brad Ryan says it could be capped with something other than gravel or not capped at all.
It doesn't have to be D1 if it's hardened underneath and the snow's just sitting on it.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, you know, it could be just a hardened surface, which is basically what it is.
Yeah, you know that, and it's already gravel underneath.
So does the surface have to change then if it's basically already a hardened surface?
It doesn't have to change much. The important part is the swale that's outside of it.
He noted that the borough is moving away from dumping snow into the ocean.
One of the focuses of the borough is to move away from dumping snow into the off the cruise ship dock. If you notice, last year we didn't do that. We're putting it in the yard of the public safety building. And the reason is, you know, there are pollutants associated with that. DEC's, you know, giving little warning shots that may come to a halt, and we want to be ahead of the game.
This plan is still a work in progress and is scheduled for completion by the end of this month, with the bioswales in place by mid-November. After that, it's just a matter of waiting for it to snow and then melt. The plants are scheduled to go in next spring. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
The Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition hopes to record the temperature of salmon streams across Southeast Alaska over the next 2 years. The Chilkat Indian Village and Chilkoot Indian Association are partners in the project. The goal is to collect data to measure climate change's effect on Alaska's most prominent fish. KSTK's Aaron Bolton explains.
Salmon are a very particular fish. All five species arrive in streams to spawn every year, leaving behind eggs which turn into fry the next spring and eventually smolt before going out to sea. Each species has a timed life cycle with many factors affecting future populations, stream temperatures being among them.
High temperatures especially have a negative effect on egg development.
Dennis Reed is a fishery biologist for the Wrangell Ranger District. He says streams below 55 degrees seem to be best for most species. He says higher temps accelerate the fry to smolt process.
If they develop too fast, they come out too early, they get to sea and there's nothing to eat.
Reed says when salmon leave streams, the escapement needs to coincide with a plankton bloom.
So they either starve to death or they become weakened and have difficulty with predation. And that can knock populations down.
The Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition is beginning a project that will record salmon stream temperatures across Southeast and assemble any data from groups and agencies that are already collecting it. Angie Flickinger is the director of the coalition. She says assembling the data under one roof will help inform management decisions and help monitor climate change's impact on salmon habitat.
It's something relatively new, and we're just starting to collect this data. This is really just helping us gather a bigger data set so that we can monitor and identify any trends or changes that might be happening within this habitat.
The North Pacific Landscape Conservation Cooperative awarded the coalition $48,000 for the project, which will last 2 years.
Our hope is to make this a sustainable program, whether that's identifying future funding to keep it going or, you know, once we can kind of get this network established and get some protocols in place to have other groups that now have the capacity to collect this data just feed into that network, and then it's really just maintaining the data and information and making sure it's available.
The Watershed Coalition is currently recording data on 10 streams throughout Southeast. The funding for the current project will come to a close in 2018. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Aaron Bolton.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.